So I took this week off to study, and I read the scripture on Monday and thought, ooh, that's a doozy. And I walked in today, and Scott and his mom had talked about, well, can't wait to hear what Kim does with that one. And we're going to do something fun. So I'm glad you're here. But first, let's pray. Gracious and loving God, in the silence of the stars, in the rolling of the hills, in the heaving of the sea, we see you, Lord. In the voice of a friend, in the chatter of a child, in the words of a stranger, we hear you, Lord. In the longing of our minds and the calming of our hearts, we feel you, Lord. Allow me to move aside and let your words be spoken. Amen. I want to start by asking the question, if somebody were to ask you, insert your name here, who is blank, how would you respond? So we'll do it for me since I have the microphone on. Who is Kim? Right? And it depends on when we might have met in life. If you met me as an elementary school child, I struggled with learning, but I was super kind and I was everybody's friend, but I also ruled my bedroom and made it a schoolhouse and you would follow my rules, right? I could be called Kimbo at that age of my life, okay? You met me a little later in life, my teenage years, my parents are here, you slip my dad a 20, he'll tell you as many stories as you want. I was not as kind. I was not as, we called it the dark period. How's that for a minute, right? I was kind of goth light, you know? Kim Rankin at that time, when I hear Kim Rankin and I know I went to high school with you, I turn around slowly, right? So that name kind of pauses me. But was at church every Sunday and people pouring into me and reminding me who I was called to be. Let me name and claim that. Went to college, still Kim Rankin, met some of my dearest friends. I went from kind of a crazy girl to an East Texas school, and I will never forget working on a project. This is back in my day where the radio was in the living room, and I was putting a CD on, and it was Garth Brooks. And I just saw, like, my family, it wasn't Depeche Mode, it wasn't The Cure, it was Garth Brooks, and, like, my family's just kind of tiptoeing to the living room, like, what's happening? So I kind of changed my taste in music, kind of learned some things. I graduated from college, I became a school teacher, and then my name became Miss Rankin. For a couple years, I was Miss Rankin. I got married a year after that, and so I then became Mrs. Myers. One of my favorite stories with that is I moved schools. One of my students moved districts. He moved districts. I taught the deaf back then, and I saw him in the hallway, and he was like, I got the new teacher, Miss Myers. Do you know her? I was like, you're going to love her. Then I left the classroom and I went and worked at a church running a preschool. And in that preschool, we went by our first names. So I went from Mrs. Myers to Miss Kim, which was really great because no matter where I was at in a grocery store, if a child was staring at me randomly and they said Miss Kim, I knew they were from church. If they said Miss Myers, I knew they were from, you know, so I had my different names. And in my adult life, my kids actually has never known me to be a school teacher. It was a huge part of my identity, Mrs. Myers and Mrs. Rankin. But I left the classroom when Cody was 3 and Dylan was 1, and they're not 3 and 1 anymore. And they've known me as Miss Kim, because at most churches that I've worked at, I'm Miss Kim. Depending on family situations, some families call me Pastor Kim, some, you know, but Kim is just good. So it just depends on who you are and a point of my life on how you might describe me. There are very few people who know all of me, who deeply know who Kim is. My parents are probably one of them. My husband. I would say my college girls. They've known me since I was 18. But there's very few people, right, who can like really name and claim who is Kim. Today we're going to ask the question, who's Jesus? But not only of who is Jesus, because you could say, every single one of you, I say, who is Kim? You would say, she's my pastor. Great. What does that mean? Because we can name and claim, which we've already done today, in word, in song, that Jesus is Lord. We've already done it. We could go home. I don't need to preach. What I want you to ask tonight is, what does that mean? Who is Jesus to you? Let me paint a little picture. So Jesus is sitting around with some Pharisees, and they're gathered together, and they want to get him, right? So I'm in Matthew 23, and they say to Jesus, what do you think of the Messiah? Whose son is he? They said to him, Jesus asked them, because they were asking him questions, so he throws it back on them. Who's the Messiah? And they answer very logically, and what in their minds correctly, they say, the son of David. And Jesus then responds to them, how is it that David, by the Spirit, calls him Lord, saying, y'all, he's quoting Psalm 110 right now, in case you don't know where I'm going here. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. If David thus calls him Lord, how can he be his son? Verse 46 is good. It says, no one was able to give him an answer, nor from the day did anyone dare to ask Jesus any more questions. So who is Jesus? This is why I wanted to start with this. Jesus quoted Psalm 110 to answer the question that he asked the disciples. Who is Jesus? They responded, he's the son of David. He's like, but if David calls him Lord, and at the beginning of Psalm 10, he says Lord twice, which in our English is just boring. In Hebrew, it means, he probably said Yahweh first, which is Lord, King of Kings. And then second, most Bibles you'll see Lord is capitalized, and then the second Lord isn't capitalized, and that's Adonai. That's like my Savior. So at the very beginning of Psalm 110, it says Jesus is Lord Yahweh, which is that covenant name, Adonai, my master. I highlighted how many times in Psalm 110 Lord is said, and it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then we throw in a priest for fun, okay? So here we are. If we're answering or asking the question, if somebody says to you, who is Jesus? You got an answer. You already got two. You've got Yahweh, my Lord and Savior, and you have Adonai, my master. So God, Jesus, is my Lord and my master. We all agree? All right, let's move on. Verses 1 through 3. This is where it gets a little tricky. It says, your people will offer themselves willingly on the day you will lead your forces on the holy mountains. From the womb of the morning, like dew of your youth will come to you. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. I want to talk about him for just a second, because there's a reason why his name is named here. So he is one of the only people in the history that was named and claimed as both a Lord and a priest. You see, these were very separate things. You were either Lord, King, ruler, or a priest. You were not both. That didn't make sense. And yet here we are in this scripture as David is naming and claiming for the Lord in as many ways he can. And he goes to priest. And when you are the best priest you can be, you're somebody who's drawing people closer to God. So we have Lord as our ruler, Lord as our master, and Lord as our priest. I woke up the other morning at like 3 a.m., one of those just like had a weird dream, couldn't stop thinking about the dream. And so I started reading this scripture again because I sometimes think when the Lord wakes me up in the middle of the night, it's because I need to pray. And so I started praying about this, and I went back to this priest bit because the Lord drawing us in is who I pray to at 3 a.m. The one that is near my heart, near my soul. What they sang tonight about the Lord being in our soul. How blessed are we? Because you know my other option at 3 a.m.? Doom scrolling on TikTok. It's not good for my soul, right? Or I have these stupid mindless games that I have on my phone that I really should delete. Not good for my soul. But praying to God at 3 a.m. Not bad. Not bad at all. So who is Jesus? Who is in control of your life? Because see, that's what was happening with me at 3 a.m. was like I woke up with weird thoughts. I wanted to regain the control that I think I have over things. We all know I'm a control freak. And yet, what do? When we pray, we open our hands and we relinquish what we think we have control of and give it to God. Every single time I do that, do it with me. Make a fist, like a real fist. Don't hit anybody. And then let it go. I feel like a coolness in my hands when I do that. And I run hot. If you shake my hand, 90% of y'all go, "Ooh, you're warm." I'm like, "Yeah, I know. I'm hot." My hands sweat. It's just a thing. When I open, there's like this breath, this air of me realizing who is in control. And at 3 a.m., Lord wants it to be God and not my wandering mind. And then this psalm simply ends with placing the Lord at our The Lord is at your right hand. He will shatter kings on the day of his wrath. He will execute judgment among the nations, filling them with corpses. See, this is a lot, right? But what this is saying is God puts Jesus at his right hand. God and Jesus. And again, we don't really like walk into a room and ask, "May I sit at your right hand?" It's not a thing we really do anymore. But those who are reading this psalm knows that sitting at the right hand of the king not only is a place of importance and a place of an integrity, but a place of wisdom. You don't put somebody at your right hand that you don't trust. You only put somebody at your right hand that is going to help you lead. So, who is Jesus? Is Jesus your Lord? I'm going to go with yes. I think we can all answer that. Is Jesus the one in control of your life? Are you walking around like this? I think we all have our moments, right? And who's at your right hand? Who is guiding you into these decisions? See, the psalm is a lot when you look at some of the things that it says, but really, This is where Jesus went to describe who the Messiah is. He's just sitting around with the Pharisees. Isn't that amazing, by the way the scriptures are connected? Isn't it amazing that we are reading the same words that our Lord and Jesus read? It's amazing. And just our books, like our, as Scott Anderson calls them, our worship folders. I like to call them a bulletin. And if you take that bulletin home with you today and you like read it and you don't just put it in your recycling bin, you are going to see the first hymn named and claimed who the Lord is. Then we went into our Apostles' Creed and we named and claimed who the Lord is. Then we said the Lord's Prayer and we named and claimed who the Lord is. Then we got to hear who the Lord is. Then the scripture reminded us and told us who the Lord is. Just like there's a handful of people in my life who really know who Kimberly Rankin Myers is. The Lord does, fully and completely. And I know that I'm better. In fact, I can only be because the Lord is my guide. The Lord is my strength. So you can't steal my answer. But if somebody were to ask me, who is Jesus? I would say Jesus is everything. Jesus is my guide, is my master, is my healer, is my teacher, is my friend. Jesus is everything. But I have to mean it. You can't just say it. You can't just think about it. You have to act like it, which is really hard sometimes. I've told you all my family rules before, right? Rule number one, make good choices. Rule number two, remember whose you are, which is a beloved child of God, created perfectly in God's own image. And if you believe that about you, you have to believe that about the person sitting next to you. You must conduct yourself in a way where you are the hands and the feet of church. That does not mean you need to be perfect. I'm not calling each and any one of you to be perfect, because I have to look in the mirror myself too. It means we need to try and be a little better every day. I got to do a practice with our residents this past week, and y'all met them a couple of weeks ago. And we're doing some real intentional learnings. And one was naming and claiming what you wanted out of your life. So you can start at the end. A good teacher did this with a lesson plan, right? You want to know where you're taking your class. And then you kind of work your way backwards, figure out how you're going to get there. And these 20-year-old residents wrote their eulogies a couple weeks ago. It's actually a really great practice. So I decided to go ahead and write mine too. And I named and claimed a couple things in my life that I hope, it's kind of cool to do it as I'm approaching a birthday with a zero. But I mean, 50, right? My friend joked, I'm like the freshman class of the old people, right? Like hopefully I'll get some kind of orientation about all this, but I'm not gonna get younger, right? And it's exciting to look to see where I could go in this next half of my life. Taylor Davis has called us midlife for a while now, and I don't like it, but he's right, right? I'm not at the end. I'm not at the beginning. I'm in the middle, hopefully. And I named and claimed a couple of things, and it just makes me smile to think about it. It's mine right now, but I have a couple grandkids in the future, and my grandma name's going to be Lovey. I've already decided. Now we'll see what they decide. But you know, it was fun to write about that. I got to write about the residency program and pouring into youth. And then if I do this for the next 20 years, that's over 300 young adults that will go through this program. How cool is that? And none of it's about my name or about my title. It's naming and claiming who God called me to be and teaching others that they're a beloved child of God. So you know who Jesus is, but ask the questions. Is he your Lord? Is he your priest? And is he at your right hand? Will you pray with me? Dear gracious and loving God, thank you for the Psalms. Although some of them can feel complicated and harsh, if we look into the core of these words, this poetry, this imagery, it calls us to name and claim you, our Lord, our Savior, our guide, and our King. Let us go out this week acting like that, knowing in our hearts that if somebody asked us, who is Jesus, we know and we believe the answer. We say this in your holy and precious name. Amen.